Hi, it's Dave. And when we founded Galactic Netcasts back in 2011, we did it not to make money or become the most popular podcast network on the planet. We did it first to get together with friends to share our love of all things geeky like aliens and sci-fi. Of course, we've since broadened that out to include things like comic books, the paranormal, video games, board games, horror, science, and other topics. And over the years, we've never really asked you to do more than subscribe and maybe share our stuff with friends of yours who may like it too. And we've hardly ever came out and asked you directly for any kind of financial support until now. And we're not asking you to make a huge commitment or even something like Netflix, which is like $8 a month. But if you like what we do, please consider pledging at least $1 a month to help us cover operational costs like web and audio hosting. And maybe sometime in the future, we'll have enough in the budget for some advertising. Who knows? Bunch of people giving $1 a month can add up pretty quickly. For us, just you listening is good enough. But if you want to do more, go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Check out our rewards, and you might decide to commit to more than $1 a month. Either way, we thank you. And now, without further ado, here's your podcast. And of course, as always, a production of Galactic Netcasts.
Guten Morgen? I tried doing one in Spanish, I was trying to do one in German. I forgot all my German. You're listening to the podcast, it's here. This is a production of Galactic Netcast, and you're listening to the ill-fabled news episode, which I think is going to start becoming a thing, because I got this guy, Corey, who always comes to hang out, and he does all the work for me, as he did this time.
I did this time.
Yeah, which was awesome. I was sick all week, so Corey's just like, I got all these news stories. And I looked and there was full of news, so I'm like, I guess we're doing a news episode. And because Corey took the helm on that, he also gets to tell you about everything Galactic Netcast.
Yeah, Galactic Netcast, that's where we're from. You can come find us there. We are at gncast.com, or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/galacticnetcast. And you can check out our different shows. You can see the daily news stuff that Dave is putting up in regards to the different shows. He's got stories about sci-fi and aliens and Weird World Weekly and a bunch of great stuff that relates to the shows that we do and other stuff in general. All geeky great things. And if you go to patreon.com/galacticnetcast, you can support our network with $1 a month. You know, something really lightweight like that. You wouldn't even think about it. You just go, what happened with a dollar? I don't remember having a dollar. Well, now I don't. And that works for us. We don't care. By the way, I know we've talked about it in the first episode that I was on, at least. Matt mentioned the Patreon. He's like, yeah, pay us so that we can keep doing this and quit our jobs. No one's making any money of this.
No.
It's to support the network. It's to support the shows. Dave isn't collecting a paycheck from it. None of us are getting paid for this. We're doing this because we're having a good time. If we get super rich, then yeah, sure, great. But
you have fun now, with this? About... I hate doing this. I'm held against my will to do this.
that makes up for me being a dick the last time. But it allows us right now, we're looking at doing some advertising, trying to grow the network a little bit. We want to keep encouraging growth of the network for the shows, doing new things. We've got a couple of our shows, one on Alpha Geek Radio. And we really like the fact that they've been supportive of us, and we want to just try to go up to that next level. So that's what supporting a Patreon would do. Otherwise, you can give us feedback by emailing us at galacticnetcasts@gmail.com or on gncast.com. You can find a place where you can call us, leave us a voice message, and we'd appreciate it. You can talk about this show. You can talk about the other shows. You can just talk about how your day went, you know, what you're having for dinner. It's like an Instagram with your mouth. We're okay with that.
I love food and recipes, so I will gladly talk to someone about food. I got salsa chicken in the slow cooker right now.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to make food for the week, you know, because I do that.
I made myself a nice omelet before I got on in here, so I'm Not the sex term of an omelet. I don't want
no,
to
that's
really
not, that's not what I was thinking of. I love eggs and omelets and everything. I just I love food. Like last night, I ate a bunch of fried chicken for dinner, which is probably a bad thing to do, but it is what it is. I'm going to eat a pint of ice cream after this, and I'm drinking. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but I guess 4 is not that bad.
I have an issue that I've had since I was a little kid, which is I can't eat food that I recognize as to where it came from. So I can only eat chicken if it's not on the bone, has been processed like hell. Or I can't eat like something that looks like the original. If someone says to me, oh, you're eating this cow that I introduced you to earlier, I'm going to freak out and not be able to eat. So, yeah, I live by a simple rule, and that rule is never stare directly at the McNugget. Which is, I don't want to know where my food comes from.
See, people are always like, yeah, I watched Super Size Me, and I won't eat McDonald's. I said, I watched Super Size Me, and I was fucking hungry. I have a goal in my life, and that is to eat 52 or more chicken McNuggets in one sitting. I've done 40. I have 50, 52 or more is the next one. I'm going to try to get 60 sometime.
We used to do a competition to see who could make it through the most sacks of White Castle when I was a kid. That was... It led to me being here today with the diabetes. So,
see, the closest White Castle to me is like a few hours south, and I've still never eaten at one.
The good news is that what you get from the freezer section in your grocery store tastes exactly like White Castle, because the microwave them there too.
That's what I've heard, and I've eaten the freezer section once, but everyone's like, oh, well, you don't really need to eat it now, you've already eaten it. It's like, I kind of still want to go just to go, because... they're like 79 cents a cheeseburger, aren't they, or something silly?
Yeah, but they're little teeny... You know,
yeah, burgers. I want to go and eat one to say that I've eaten one.
Well, you can't eat just one. It's like Pringles.
I didn't say I would go there and for a meal. I would stop there and get one cheeseburger and leave.
Yeah, and then you go someplace else to eat because that would not do it for
you. That's the point. That's the point. I would have a real meal somewhere.
It would heat the flu of your hunger.
I would eat a White Castle cheeseburger as an appetizer for real food. So it's like eating diarrhea before a steak.
That's true. It'll make sure that steak gets through you really quick.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just it lubricates your entire gastrointestinal system.
Yeah, microwave meat does some wonderful things towards your digestive tract.
Oh, all right. You're killing my food boner here. Let's enough White Castle. Let's talk about some.
Let's talk about other stuff that can make you shit.
Some fucking news. we'll start off with... And this is one Dave suggested, but it is something that I was familiar with a while ago, but I'm too scared to play it. It's a cell phone game called Night Terror. It's not out yet. There was a Kickstarter, which I believe ended quite a while ago, so I don't know where they're at in terms of funding or development, but you're supposed to play it in your house with the lights off, with earbuds in, and it uses some space-age technology to determine how your house is built, and then it takes the story of the game in which you are trying to find a girl who's lost. I don't know if it's in your house or on the other side of the nether realm kind of thing, but like... It builds your house, and as you're walking around, there are like shit'll jump out at you, and you can hear the girl screaming from other rooms. And as you get closer, she gets louder and things like that. And it's a really cool concept, but the fact that you want to turn my house into a nightmare land, is no bueno. Like maybe if I go to someone else's house and they have it, or I can maybe play it without the earbuds in. But I'm just like no, like. It's a really awesome concept, and they used a lot of really insane technology to do it, and I hope that it just makes a shit ton of money because it's so awesome, but it is not for me to play.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it, and it reminded me of an old PS2 game called Fatal Frame, where you're walking around with a camera, and you're seeing the ghosts of the camera and stuff.
Yeah.
Except you're right. It involves your own personal space, which is some crap. That is not nice to do to somebody.
Yeah, you can't disconnect yourself when it's turning your house into a nightmare.
I would rather have this be one of those famous viruses that winds up on your cell phone that never seem to pop up in the real world, but everybody talks about it online all the time, where it just infects somebody's phone and they don't know it, and they're going and they're taking a picture of something, and all of a sudden ghosts start popping out at them. That would be way cooler.
That would be super awesome. I wonder if they'd do that. Like they'd have to. There'd have to be some sort of somewhere they would let you know that there's a possibility that had happened. But that'd be pretty fucking cool.
I like horror that it involves you that you don't know that that's happening. Glenn Rubenstein, who is from, he works at Twit, and he is one of the original people with Dave that I met online when they were doing their What Else Is On. No, I'm sorry, their What We're Watching Weekly show on Spreecast back in the day. That's how I met Dave. He talked about when the Carrie remake came out, they had a number that you would call, and you would hear Carrie on the other end of the phone, and she would be like whispering to the phone because she's locked in her closet, hiding from her mom. And then when you hang up, it would call you back. It like it would wait a little while, and it would call you a couple of times with more messages from her, still with like in character in the movie. It was crazy weird, and they had to stop doing it because people weren't aware that it was going to happen. Like they were going to get calls back. So they had to give you an opt-in. But for that first person who's doing it and had no idea and just getting these callbacks from it, that seems terrifying to me.
Yeah, especially if you didn't... I mean, if you didn't... Yeah, that's... And that when did that come out? That was... Yeah.
It was like 3 years ago now, I think.
Oh, it was 3 years ago? I thought it was more than that.
Maybe more.
I feel like it was long enough ago before the internet was, you know, so readily full of people... trying to like ruin things for you, and it was before a time in the internet where you could just go on and figure out, be like, oh, this is just what happens, this is just fucking with me. Then it would make it much scarier.
Yeah, I mean, it's those surprise things that they kind of regulate now, or we're sort of guarded against. It used to be that we didn't have caller ID, so when somebody would call you and prank call you, it could be terrifying because you had no idea who they were. Now it's like the age of you can block numbers, you can see who's calling. I remember with three-way calling, I had a friend who used to call me and then call like a pizza place or a police station or something else on the other line. And I would never know that he was in the middle. So I'm like getting a call and they think they're getting a call and he's just cracking up in between. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's weird when your technology betrays you, though, the things that you trust. Mm-hmm. So your phone betraying you, your computer betraying you, those are bad enough. Your home betraying you, it, like what this game is basically doing is setting you with a full paranoia in your own house. That's crazy. It also reminded me of that Slenderman movie that we watched.
Yes. Yeah. You gotta have it. Yeah. 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 Fuck all of that. You know, 100% fuck it. Yeah. So I'm curious to see. I don't know if they even have a release date. There wasn't one listed. Check it out.
Yeah. And I tried to find it. It's definitely not in the Play Store. I don't know if it's on iTunes yet, but I don't even know if they're usually these things hit. The iPhone before they hit Android.
Yeah, and this was I'm gonna see if I can look it up on the Play Store real quick, but this Kickstarter was only like a few months ago at most, so if it wasn't 100% developed and they just finished their Kickstarter, then there's absolutely no way that it's coming out in any sort of reasonable amount of time.
When I was investigating this, though, I did see an Oculus Rift game that someone is making that is basically like being in a house and being stalked in your own home. One of those kind of slasher films things where you're experiencing it all in 3D in a virtual reality. And that also looked terrifying. Even though it wasn't my house, it just looked very well done and very realistic. And just going through the house quietly. We did a story on Sci-Fi Geeks Club this past week that was about going through the Enterprise D from Star Trek The Next Generation. But there are no people there. And that's also kind of eerie. Mm-hmm. But when they try to make it purposely so, it really does creep you out. It's pretty good. So there's more of these kind of horror games coming, and it makes sense. You know, you played that one on PS4 recently, and it's getting a lot of really good reviews. So there's truly a market for that. My wife always says she wants these games, and then gets 5 minutes into them, starts screaming, and can't play them anymore, which works great for GameStop.
I was always a big fan of like Silent Hill, but I could never really get through them. Until Dawn, I got through pretty easily, and I don't know if it's because I only chose to play it while the light, like it was light outside, or what. But yeah, horror games are kind of everyone loves being scared. That's why, you know, haunted houses are such a big ass thing. And you know, now you can go. My wife sent me a link. You can stay in a guy's house who built an exact replica of Michael Myers' house. In Florida, and it's not like to scare the shit out of you. He just has a party, open invite to the world, and they're going to be watching some movies.
Yeah, but wasn't there the last Halloween movie? Wasn't one where they had a big house party in the house?
Yes. Yes. So I don't know if something's planned that you're not aware of, but from what I saw, it's just come on over. I'll make you some food and we're going to watch some movies and hang out.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's move on to the next one. You want this one? You brought them all, so you might as well read them all.
Right on. So Clive Barker is producing a TV series based on his novel Weave World for the CW. So the CW is developing Weave World, a drama series based on the horror fantasy novel by Clive Barker. A genre writer, filmmaker is set to executive produce the project, written and executive produced by Jack Kenny of Warehouse 13. Show gives a contemporary makeover to the premise of the novel, which was published in 1987, and the TV adaptation app designer teams up with a young pastry chef who has just discovered that she is destined to be a guardian of the mythological realm that can be accessed through a portal in an old Savannah mansion. Together, they fight an epic battle with the evil forces who are vying for control of the magical world, and it's from CBS Studios.
I'm going to have to find this book. If they are going to do a TV show, but I think it's funny that you had this in there. We were just talking about the Hellraiser movies and how we want to do a review on all of them because you love punishment.
But also we talked on the last news episode about the Friday the 13th series that they're talking about doing on CW. So CW is definitely going after more of a horror thing as well. And like we said before, there's Scream on MTV based off of that series. It seems inevitable that we'll get more Nightmare on Elm Street. In fact, I think that's a story coming up down here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, horror is getting to be a big genre again. It's more people are kind of leaning towards it. And in TV, which is, to me, very interesting because it's one thing to sit through a couple hours of a horror film and get something out of it. But when you have to stretch it out for a number of episodes, and if it's a thing where people keep dying, how do you keep the cast fresh from all that? And how do you get past the ridiculousness of it when it's supposed to be over a longer period of time? We'll have to see. But one of my favorite books, actually two of my favorite books, are The Great and Secret Show and Everville from Clive Barker. And I've got Weave World, but I haven't read it yet. It's one of those things that I just kind of had sitting on my shelf for too long. But I think it's going back on my list now.
I'm bad at reading. Like, I bought the autobiography from the singer Lamb of God who did time in Czech Republic prison. He was being accused of murder. And the thing showed up, and it's like 400 pages, and I've just been staring at it. And I'm like, I really want to read it, but that is a lot of reading.
It takes some dedication.
Yeah, so I'm better with a book on tape. With the amount of driving that I generally do by myself, I'll listen to book on tape during long drives versus music any day. So I can sit and listen to music at my desk all day, every day at work. So
yeah, and this is old enough. I mean, not only do I think that it's probably on Audible, but you might actually be able to find it as a book on tape, if you still have a cassette.
I don't mean physically on tape. We'll go with audiobook now. I guess that's the better term anyways. Dick. Yeah.
Unless you're driving around with an 8-track player.
Fuck you. I actually don't have an 8-track player. I don't have a tape deck anymore either. We moved, I put in like aftermarket stereos in both my cars so that I had Bluetooth for my phone. So if I'm driving, someone calls, it's work. I don't have to hold the phone.
Yeah.
Safety first, safety last, safety always, kids.
Don't text and drive, asshole.
Yeah, don't mess with Texas. Next story, Trick or Treat 2 is finally happening. We talked about Trick or Treat, or did we talk about Trick or Treat?
We talked about both. We talked about Trick or Treat, and then we both said, but Trick or Treat was a really good movie, too.
So, funny, since that last episode, we talked about Trick or Treat, the one with Gene Simmons. There is the soundtrack's really shitty, probably, in my opinion, but there's a band on the soundtrack called Impaler, whom are from Minneapolis, and I found out that a buddy of mine that him and I had talked about, I talked about having him on an episode, is actually the guitar player for the band Impaler now. So I'm like, that might be kind of funny to have him on an episode. Maybe I'll make him watch Trick or Treat if I can find it.
Yeah, goddamn. And if you can find it, I want to watch it again, too, because I haven't seen it since the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Now Kyle is my age, so he was not in Impaler when this movie came out, because we were both, like, infants. But I just thought that was funny. So anyways, back to Trick or Treat 2, Trick or Treat. It's the sequel to the 2007 movie directed by Michael Daughtry. I hope that's not the singer. It's not the singer, but... what is it? The tricky thing is that we are announcing Trick or Treat 2, just finishing the screenplay for Krampus. Oh, so it's got Krampus 2, which I'm kind of curious to see how that turns out, since my only interaction with Krampus is from The League, the FX show about fantasy football.
Yeah.
Because Taco always talks about Krampus. So the co-writers just too tempting to not do Krampus. So it sounds like he was doing Krampus Trick or Treat 2 at the same time.
It sounds like he put Trick or Treat on hold
to do Krampus
because he was doing Krampus and he wanted to get Trick or Treat right. Trick or Treat is it's more of an anthology, so it's four or five different short horror stories that take place. We talked about it a little bit last time. It was like the Creep Shows or Tales from the Dark Side, those kind of movies.
Yeah,
but it had a very good modern cast, popular actors and actresses, and honestly it was a good film. The stories were nice and creepy and dark and horrible and had a good amount of black humor to it as well. It was a really good flick for what it was, and I still kind of feel it's underrated. Like, I don't see it get enough due. I think people who are horror fans that have seen it like it, but it just didn't seem to get the mainstream backing that I would expect that it should have for being what it was.
Yeah, I'm not going to... Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I vaguely remember seeing it a long time ago. I didn't hate it. I just remember the kid with the pumpkin head and thinking that was weird. But it's probably what they were going for. So I really want to get to this last story. Like, I rushed through everything to get to this last one because I'm excited about this one.
Me too.
So that I keep my shirt on, I'll let you... talk. I'll let you bring it up.
All right. So, like I was saying earlier, all these shows that are getting revived on the CW and other stations based off of horror franchises, one thing that we've been missing is Nightmare on Elm Street. And after the remake recently, I wouldn't necessarily say missing, but
I didn't hate the remake.
It was just a very different film.
Yes. And that's, I think that was okay with me that it was different. You're not going to get the original Nightmare on Elm Street's back. So you got to be open about the remakes. And I guess I saw briefly that they're talking about another remake. And I think, was it the Dream Warriors that they were referencing?
It seems like it. So Robert Englund says that he thinks that a Dream Warriors remake might be happening. And part of the reason why he thinks that is because of Tuesday Night, who replaced Patricia Arquette in the Dream Master film after Patricia Arquette played in Dream Warriors. Tuesday Night, I guess, has been talked to by the people who are working in the franchise now. And Robert is guessing, and this is seriously just like total rumors and conjecture at this point, and he even says this, is that he thinks if they're inviting Tuesday Night back, it may be to play the mother of the character that she played in Dream Master and who Patricia played in Dream Warriors. So he thinks that they are doing a remake of the Dream Warriors, which was arguably, out of the sequels, the best sequel besides New Nightmare.
Is Dream Warrior 4?
Dream Warriors was 3.
It was 3.
Had the Dokken song on the soundtrack.
Okay, and then so Dream Masters was... So Dream Warriors was 3, Dream Masters was 4.
Remaster was 4, and they took the three characters who lived out of the third one, and they passed the dream power along to the new character Alice, who then went on to be in Dream Child, which was number 5 as well. So it was a legacy push, but they did kill like Kincaid and the guy who's, I can't remember his name, the guy who can talk in number 3.
They killed off their characters
in the beginning of the before.
Man, those were good. Like, those were... I loved those movies. 3 and 4, especially. 5 was... I didn't hate. Freddy's Dead was probably my favorite because it got a little ridiculous. And then they had the 3D part at the end.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. But
was 5 the one where the guy fought Freddy while he was invisible? It seemed like their budget was completely just ganked. maybe that was 4. It was one of the guys was in his dream. He was doing karate. And then he winds up fighting Freddy, but Freddy's completely unseen. So it's just a guy kicking around in a white room by himself. It was super shitty.
I gotta look all these up on IMDb now. I think that was when they started to kind of go down, unfortunately. Anything's better than two.
Well, and I want to talk about that for a second, because there is, I'll give you a link for the doc. There's a story about the guy who played in number two. His last name's Patton.
Yeah, he did some documentary.
He's mostly done with the documentary. They are doing a Kickstarter to finish it off. It's called Scream Queen, not to be confused with Scream Queens, My Nightmare on Elm Street. And it is about the fact that when he was in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which the filmmakers didn't realize at the time, it got completely derailed because everybody thought that it was all about a lot of gay innuendo and subtext. And like, we don't see any of this. And there's the scene with the coach getting beat on his naked ass with a wet towel in the shower. There's a lot of stuff where England himself actually says he's like doing like an oral thing with the kid in the movie. The kid in the movie is not gay, but the actor who played him was. Mm. And he feels like there was a lot of stuff that he should have been more open with at the time, and that it's kind of made his life hell being a gay actor and not feeling like he could be out in Hollywood. But having this movie that is for a lot of gay horror fans has become sort of like a big deal to them, because they got to see stuff up on the screen that they related to in a way that, you know, other people who were just going to see Iron Elm Street didn't. Mm-hmm. It looks like a really cool documentary, and I just wanted to kind of mention it because it is looking for support on Kickstarter. I liked Nightmare on Elm Street 2, but it was kind of like Season of the Witch in Halloween. It did not feel bloody. It didn't feel like really connected to the rest of the universe.
Right.
With, you know, what they went back to with Dream Warriors, and then going down the line through Dream Master and Dream Child, they did go back to that original storyline. They involved Nancy again. They involved her father. And then they just kind of passed it along each time. Nightmare on Elm Street 2 didn't do that. But I don't think that means it's a bad film. It's just there is a lot of gay subtext that, intentional or not, was there. And I think it makes it harder to watch. And then there's the part where Freddy comes out of the dreams into the physical world, which also kind of sucks.
I want to say I watched this movie like twice, and I just do not care to watch it again, which, whatever. But it does not get a lot of good reviews.
No.
I almost...
It doesn't, but, you know, I think, frankly, we love the films more for their cheesiness, and we accept their down parts when they aren't necessarily great films. Mm-hmm. But they evoke something. They evoke a connection because of the character, because of Freddy, and because of the storylines of attacking us in our dreams. Just like we talked about earlier with your house working against you, your mind working against you, your subconscious doing something that you can't help, which is sleep. Mm-hmm. And feeling like you're not safe in that one thing that you should be. That's, I think, why people connect to it.
I could not agree more, and I think that we should do a review of all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies after we do Hellraiser.
I'm all for that. I had bought the entire DVD set years ago for Aaron, my wife, when it came out. I had to go find it at another Best Buy store because mine, for some reason, didn't have it. And I would watch all of them again. We watch tons of them all the time. She's watching New Nightmare the other night.
Oh, nice. I own the same box set, so I know what you're talking about. But yeah, we're going to get it on the docket. Yeah. Scribe a letter.
Oh, and the last thing about the remake, though, is that Robert Englund said it would be kind of cool for him if he got invited back to not necessarily play Freddy, but to play the guy who's the doctor from the Dream Warriors movie, who is basically talking to the kids about their dreams in the medical ward.
Yep, I remember that
and
part.
That would be great to see him come back into the series somehow.
They almost have to. You know what I mean? He's such an iconic character, and no matter what you see him, and you always be like, oh, it's Freddy. Like, he was in Strangeland, which everyone hates that movie. I love that movie. But they're like, oh, shit, it's Freddy. Like, you know, his character has nothing to do with anything relating to Freddy Krueger, but that's Freddy. You know what I mean? That's,
yeah. People still anytime he shows up in the Sharknado stuff, or yep. He was in Zombie Hookers, or Zombie Strippers, sorry. he's great because he's Robert Englund. He's a great character actor. Yeah. I loved him from V, even before Nightmare on Elm Street, where he plays an actually really sweet guy as one of the aliens. But
wow.
It would be fantastic to see him come back into this series, what he's most known for. And then the question is, who covers Dokken's Dream Warrior song?
I just saw that. That would be fucking awesome. And that's when, back in the day when movies, they wrote music for movies. It's not whatever. That is a different conversation, me complaining about Top 40 radio right now.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Trick or Treat, and then we talked about Shocker as well, mm-hmm. I think a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And Shocker had the main song for the movie was like this mega band that had Paul Stanley and a bunch of other people in it that just formed for this one song for this film.
Go figure.
The song was a bigger deal than the movie was. And the song really wasn't that good, but it was written by Desmond Child, who had a lot of hits.
Oh, well, where are they now? Exactly. All the hits went up their nose. I actually don't know. I have no basis. I don't know. So I think that wraps up for another news episode, which I'm proud of us. We've done two. I promised. Yeah. I promised them. Finally did them, and now we're doing them for reals.
And it sounds like we gave ourselves more work, which is even better.
Yeah, right. Like I said, maybe we'll just I don't know. We'll watch a bunch of fucking movies. It'll be awesome. So thank you, you the listener. You sitting wherever you're. Maybe you're driving to work. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us talk stupid at each other about things that we enjoy. And that you keep coming back. Tell your friends, because it's kind of crazy that people listen to this. But thank you.
They might drive to work, too.
Yeah, right? They'll have to listen to something while they're driving to work. So why not podcast tear? But thank you very much for listening. And until next time, have a great day.
Take care.
Been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about the show you just listened to, including how to subscribe and give us feedback, plus additional podcasts from the Galactic Network, daily news features, videos, links to our social networks, and more, go to gncasts.com. That's gncasts.com.